5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on.
The all-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, good evening. It is. Can you believe it's Thursday already? I'm not sure what happened to all the days sort of from Sunday. It's all sort of, it was Sunday night. Here we are, Thursday, and it is the new Panic Room episode 202, which is all very exciting on the 13th of what promises to be August. But who knows? Who knows? And I'm past caring now, to be quite honest. And it's just all one long Sunday now, which is a life, a sad life we lead now with face masks and even get back my one trip out a week to the grocery store is ruined now because I've got to wear a face mask and it's uncomfortable and my glasses steam. I don't know what I buy. I sort of guess to be honest with you. So, you know, this week we've been eating mostly your baby powder and tampons. So, yummy. Anywho, speaking of baby powder and tampons, I'm going to have to bring her on. I rather think I pulled it off, to be quite honest with you, but there you go.
Yeah.
It was a good one. It was one of the more sort of off at a tangent ones, really.
It was.
I'm going to confess. You know, cards on the table. Full disclosure. I'm having a monster because I've had a hell of a week.
Oh God.
I've been working myself to death, you know, to provide for my ungrateful kids. I'm a little bit giddy. I'm a little bit giddy and effluviant this evening. I'm gonna press all the buttons tonight. Hang on, here we go. I'm gonna press this.
Until I wake in the morning and I step outside and I take a deep breath and I get real high and I deep to the top of my lungs. What's going on in our team?
Well, Xena, and I've done it again to you. What is going on?
Oh, a whole bunch of things. Some really,
Bigly
really.
Things.
Yeah, I don't know.
Biggy
yeah.
things.
You know,
well,
I
hear what
you're saying.
Go on.
Go ahead.
Go on. You've actually spotted something. Wow.
The only thing I was excited about was that the I Am Joe's Unwanted Penis, you know, is live on Audible today.
Yes,
so I was excited about that.
And I heard tell the author of that book is one hell of a nice guy. It's me. I'm going to guess that. But I wrote that years ago. It's my bizarro comedy novel. It's funny. I was flicking through it the other day. I was obviously preparing it for the audiobook, and it is. If I say so myself, it is funny.
Yeah.
And it was written pre-Trump. That's how long ago it was now. And there's even a jab at Donald Trump in there. There's some reference to a to a severed dick wearing a wig, and it's an obvious, it was an obvious gag, a dick wearing a wig. So just that. We have Follow Him from our good buddy Craig Stewart. He's also, it's the follow up to Worship Me. It's also out on audio book. And as we were saying, you know, before we came on the air, we now have 48 audiobooks that we've put out in just over two years now. As with the show, I've had absolutely nothing to do with any of them. So it's congratulations, actually. That is your baby, and you've suckled it well. What a great word that is, isn't it? Suckle. it's a dirty word, isn't it? It's one of those dirty words.
I'm going to start using them more often now.
Suckle. Flimsy. Flimsy is my favorite word of all time.
You know, I have such a great time with the audiobooks, and we've really had some great narrators. So I love the aspect, you know, this kind of like behind the scenes, and when it finally goes live, I feel like it's my baby too. It's great. It really is a great feeling. So
you see them through. I say, you know, we publish a new book. I do that bit, and then I just send you files to just make it happen.
Yeah,
and then magically.
Yeah, and I do. Yeah,
magically, and everyone is an absolute gem. You know, the authors obviously get involved, and they love the narrators. Mm-hmm. And it's nice we now have a sort of a go-to list. You know, he'll be good at that, and which is brilliant, brilliant. So I know I'm a grumpy old bastard, and I don't often say thank you, but thank you, because when we made the decision, I thought, yeah, audio it's the future. I thought it's the future, but where am I gonna? Mm-hmm. I just couldn't. You know, I just physically wouldn't have the time to do it. And you took it on, and. So there you go. Anyway, enough of that. what I've been meaning to say, how are the snakes?
Oh, they are, well, they're good. We did have a weird thing happen, I guess, last week, and but I think she's hungry again. She I think I told you she regurgitated like on Sunday, and very sad, and she had ate on like I think Monday. So I mean, she had like a whole week. I don't understand. But she seems to be doing fine. We had her out for a little bit. We try to have her out every night, you know, for an hour or so, and she seems great.
Well, try her again. I'm sure she'll be fine. I mean, regurgitation is just. We should have a slot. Snake hour. Regurgitation is usually it's a sign of stress mostly. So she, you know, feed her and she's stressed because she's still settling in, bless her, you know. So
we had my aunt here, and she's, you know, almost 70, I think. But she had my little snake wrapped around her hand, and then she got a phone call. And she was on the phone, and she's waving her hand around, and I'm like, oh my God, my baby is just like flying through the air, getting whiplash, and you know, so I think that's what did it, and I feel awful, I do.
Well, that would stress her out.
I can't wait. I can't wait till she gets a little bigger, like my daughter's snake, and she's a little more sturdy. You know, I don't have to. I'm hoping.
I need to send you get a picture. I need to get my ball python out and get a picture of him so you can see. They get sturdy. I mean, he's about he's probably about 4.5 foot long. Maybe a little bit longer, but he's pretty chunky. You know what I mean? You know, he eats small rats, you know, he doesn't have mice. He grew out of mice a long time. He eats small rats now, so but he's a sweetie. I need to get him out and get a picture of him for you so you can
definitely
see what's in store. But I mean, that's what I like about the ball pythons is that they're pretty robust, and you know, they're docile, and yeah, they're good. They're good. Anyway,
yeah.
we could talk about snakes all night. We should have a snake show. I've no idea what you've got in store for us this evening.
I'm excited. We have ladies on there. So there's like three or four. We're gonna have a big girl party. That sounds like fun, doesn't it? Big girl party.
Big girl.
mm-hmm, well, I don't mm-hmm. mean like big girls, but it's a big party with a bunch of girls. They're actually the authors of an anthology that was published called Together We Stand. There we go. Together We Stand.
Oh, this is a Canadian one, was it?
Yeah. Yes.
Or Canadians.
Oh,
not sure.
Yeah.
Ooh,
I love
ooh.
Canadians.
Funny about it, the Canadians. Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
I do. I always said I was going to move.
Moving
to Canada,
on.
But,
moving
yeah.
on. I actually have distant relatives up near. I think it's up near Montreal. I mean, I've not spoken.
Oh
yeah. Eyes on them since I was like 12 or something. But they're probably horrified if I turned up. They'd probably be dead now actually if I turned up on their doorstep and be like just dead.
Yeah, I wanted to say real quick, we have not had baseball hour in a really, really long time, and I'm sure you're happy about that. But
yep,
we are getting a short season this year, and I'm a big Blue Jays fan, and I was very sad because that when we started this season, they didn't actually have a stadium to play in because Canada said no. They weren't going to allow them to play in the stadium because of the virus.
Mm-hmm.
So they spent a couple of weeks where they were like without a home, and now I guess they are up where they're the Buffalo Bisons,
oh, no.
I think, is where. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, but they're up in New York, and that's going to be where their stadium, I guess, for this season. So. I'm happy
yeah.
that they have a home because it's about like they were like orphans.
Oh,
for a while.
I'm sorry. I'm bored now. I'm bored. Yeah, I've really
enjoyed
not having baseball. But it's funny. I just mentioned this. And I actually posted it on Facebook. It's from a UK paper, a newspaper, and the headline is "Sweden Herd Immunity Plan Fails," inverted commas, with just 15% catching the bug. Despite no lockdown. So people think, but hang on, hang on a minute. What are we saying uh-huh. here? That we've had no lockdown, no social distancing, none of that bullshit, and only 15% of the population have actually caught it?
That's
so
what it sounds like.
Next time you're struggling around Walmart with your face mask on and can't see fuck all, then think about that. Think of the Swedes. They don't care.
Mm-hmm. No,
they don't. But there you go. Just a little bit of social comment there for our listener. So anyway, we've got a couple waiting in the virtual green room right now. So shall we just bring them both on and see who we've got? That's always fun, isn't it? Should we?
Definitely. It is.
Should
it
we?
Is. It's fun.
Okay, so just do some sort of announcement and we'll bring them on.
Okay, we have some of the authors on from the new anthology Together We Stand. Woo!
Good evening, ladies. Hello.
Hi, James. Hi, X.
Hi. Who are we? Remember, we can't see you. Who have we got?
I'm Julie from Northern Ontario.
Hello.
Hi, Julie.
Hi.
And who else have we got?
It's Leah. You haven't talked to me in a long time, James.
Leah. Oh, my. Do you know, I saw your name. I cannot remember the last time we said hi. Hello, how are you? It's been a lot of years. A lot of years. Oh, we've got another one as well, another young lady. Hello, who's the new one?
Is it me?
Oh, I've got another one as well. I'm just going to have everybody on. Hello. So, everybody, we've got everyone from the Canadian. Is it specifically a Canadian anthology for Canadian people?
No, it's Canadian authors or Canadian or authors with Canadian roots. There's two authors from the States.
Oh, wow, cool. Cool, cool, cool.
Yeah, I'm one of the ones from the States.
But you're sort of... Well, as I said, to be fair, I could have qualified, because I have some relatives on my mother's side who are up near Montreal, so I could have been in there, so there. It's funny, actually. Did you? And I've got to ask, because we did an anthology, Hellbound Books did an anthology a couple of years ago called Made in Britain, and it was specifically for British authors and authors of British descent, and we got some kickback on that. You know, a couple of people said, "Oh, it's not fair. You're excluding, you know, other authors from other countries and blah." And how come James is in it and he lives in Houston and da 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 da. Did you get any sort of kickback? I mean, to be fair, some people seriously have got nothing better to do than moan about bullshit. Mm-hmm. But did you get any sort of kickback from the theme?
I actually didn't get any kickback from the theme at all.
No. Oh, well.
Yeah, I think because it was for charity, and we fully advertised that. Like, this was in support of COVID-19, and mm-hmm. all of the proceeds were donated to charity. I think a lot of people, anybody that maybe did have something to say about it, were wise enough to not do that.
Oh, clever.
Knocking a charity book, maybe not the best idea.
Exactly.
No, that's I like that. Hid behind charity. That's very clever. I'm gonna make a note of that. To be honest, I'm gonna steal that idea. Next time I want to be, you know, a little bit controversial. Having said that, it was a brilliant anthology. We got the highlight of it for me was we got a story from Guy N. Smith, who's a British author that I grew up reading.
Yeah.
And I he's been a hero of mine since, you know, my early teens when I first read his books. And to have, you know, a story of his was just, you know, absolutely, you know, mind-blowing for me. So, and I'm sure, I hopefully Guy was thrilled to be in the same anthology as me as well.
I bet you he was. Yeah, definitely.
I bet it made his career. I bet he thought, right, that's it. I'm going to retire now. I have reached the pinnacle of my career.
That's what
it
is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I'm wondering, Together We Stand, is that, are all the stories, are they romance or are they different genres?
There were a
They're
couple
all
that
different
were not
genres.
Romance.
All different. Yeah.
The majority now, of them are romance, but.
Oh. That's what I was wondering. Now, you know, now that I have everybody who, you know, the Canadian and Canadian roots and stuff, who are Blue Jays fans? You got to give it up for the Blue Jays. Blue Jays, woo! Anybody?
No.
Anybody?
Hard no.
That's hockey, right?
Oh, no.
It's just Christina, then.
I know. I'm not even Canadian, and I love the Blue Jays. They were the first baseball team that I ever watched, and I love the Blue Jays. I do. You know, and I know they suck, okay? They kind of do suck, and I get that, but I still love them, and I was really excited that we have some baseball this year, and so, yeah, that's awful that we have the Canadian ladies, and still, I'm the only Blue Jays fan. There's something wrong there.
It's hockey here. We're hockey.
Well, okay. Yeah. I've never really watched hockey, so I don't really, yeah. Maybe I might like it if I tried it. I just, I haven't.
Hockey's
so.
Amazing.
Yeah. All right. Who wants to go first and tell me about your story? And I think we have some excerpts to get into, too.
You want Cassia to go first?
Yeah, I think she needs to
go
first because
of
time.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and I did want to say we had Cassia Brightmore on our show, I think it was a couple of years ago, and she's come back.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. Anytime we have a guest that comes back, we always question their sanity, but I'm so happy that you're back. Yeah.
No,
but,
thank you for having me. I'm very, very appreciative. It was a lot of fun last time, and I'm really happy to be back.
Yeah.
So thank you. Thank you. Yeah, for sure. Maybe I will start off because I'm not going to stay on very long. Thanks, Julie. I think that was Julie. It's hard to tell who's who. Like, I'm not sure who it was that said that. But anyways, so my story in the anthology is called Misdirection. It's more of like a mafia-based book, dark romance. It follows all of our themes were to navigate around essential workers as we wanted to kind of highlight how that sort of story could fall into romance with these crazy times that we're living in right now. So I chose to follow the mayor of a fictional town and a little love story between him and a coffee shop barista who ultimately also is living a double life as the leader of a mafia gang. So it's like a twisty story that is on brand for me. Lots of excitement, lots of romance, and then an ending that I hoped that the readers didn't see coming. So that's a little bit about my story there.
Awesome. I definitely want to hear more. Do you have your excerpt ready?
I don't. I didn't prepare one because I'm terrible at being an author. Sorry, guys.
Oh,
I can grab. I can maybe grab one to share. Let me see. I have the book here. I have the paperback.
Yay.
Maybe swing to somebody else and come back to me, and I'll pick a little spot out to read
awesome.
While someone else talks about theirs.
Okay. Julie, why don't you go ahead and tell us about your story?
My story is called Fighting for Him. It's a romance comedy story because I'm just a big joker. It centers around a woman who goes to see her father in a nursing home and has to stand at a window to talk to him through the window. And her brother is a police officer in this town. And what happens is she goes and she works in the grocery store, and when she gets home and she's relaxing, she gets a call from her brother's partner that he was in an accident. So she has to go to the hospital because she's only the family is allowed in. So the little clip I have is from when she shows up at the hospital. Okay.
Oh, I got laughter. Good. I liked it.
He's already laughing.
Yeah, it's so. Yeah, I've read the story, so.
We're ready when you are.
So this part is she's just talking to the doctor that's fixing his brother, and the doctor goes, yeah, when they brought him in, the paramedics were laughing at the entire situation. The guy was arrested and dragged into the cruiser before your brother got lightheaded and passed out. The reason he passed out is that the guy had pooped himself on the way to the cruiser, and the smell made your brother woozy. I burst out laughing. I didn't say poop either, so. Yeah, so it just, the brother and the sister in my story constantly prank each other, so there's more polarity throughout the story.
I definitely love a good rom-com. I do. I don't read enough of them, but every time I find myself, you know, reading one, I'm like, oh, man, it's just so refreshing, I think. The last rom-com I read was, I think last year around Christmas time, it was a Christmassy one. And, you know, when I first started it, one of our guests actually sent me a book. And I wasn't reading anything at the time, and I just picked it up, and I just loved it. It was so cute. It was. And I think that every once in a while we should all, you know, read a rom-com. It's definitely, it's not something if I'm in the bookstore looking around, it's usually not what I go to. But every time I read them, I enjoy it so much. I really do. Do you guys have a favorite? Every story isn't about, you know, rom-coms here, but anybody have a favorite author that does rom-coms? I have to
write these down.
I write rom com.
She's one of my favorites.
Who was that? I couldn't hear what you said.
I think her name is R. L. Matthewson. She does some really good like neighbor ones and stuff, and they're usually pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah, Leah, what about you? Is your story romance? I mean, is it? Yeah, I always thought you had some kind of a horror there in your story. So is it scary at all or?
No horror in this one.
No
the stories
horror.
Have actually been getting away from horror lately.
Really?
Yeah. mine's checking out Mr. Wright. My sister works for a grocery store. She's a cashier. And, I mean, we've all seen it. You go into the grocery stores, they've got the limits on how much toilet paper and paper towels or meat you can buy.
Gosh.
Or,
right.
And, you know, people come up to the register and they've got too much. And I feel bad. The cashiers have to tell them it's got to go back. And the cashiers are always getting blasted. During a really bad day, nice guy in line behind the lady that gives my cashier hell takes up for her, and things kind of start from there, you know. She was busy checking out Mr. Wright.
I like that. Yeah, you know, so all the stories, do they take place during this time, like during the virus?
It's all pandemic related. Every story, I think everybody picked a different essential worker to base their story around.
Cool.
Julie and her rom-com, she left out Skittles in this book, though. You have to ask her about Skittles sometimes.
Oh, God.
Yeah, well, I like Skittles. What's going on with Skittles? We're all laughing, but I don't know why.
I kind of ruined Skittles in one of my books. So.
Huh. Is it like a dirty reason, or is it dirty reason here? Nice. I like that. It does sound like a little sticky, though, so I don't know. I'd feel about Skittles. Yeah. Wow. We'll have to have you back on so you can read the Skittles bit here. Yeah.
Yeah, you'll see all kinds of Skittles jokes flying on Facebook between a group of us. We all know Julie about Skittles.
So do we have another excerpt? Is Kasia, has she found hers yet?
I'm here. I've got one I could read. If I don't know if did Jerry have a chance to read hers, or you want me to go and then Jerry can go, or
whoever's ready, who's ever ready. I'm good. We're just
Go ahead, Cassia.
Okay, all right. So this scene here, it's based on. So we've got the mayor. So he comes into the coffee shop and he has like a little flirtation with our main girl, Shay, who's they're both desperately trying to like deny their attraction to each other because literally nobody knows how to date anybody during this pandemic. So he's just left and her coworker there is just kind of making fun of her. So I don't know. I'll just start at this part here. Well, you're not fooling anyone. If he was into me, I'd be all over that, honey, Henry whispered. Shay nodded and then tensed. Her phone vibrated relentlessly in her pocket, signaling a series of incoming messages. She finished up the kid's order and then scooted to the back before Henry could pry into who was desperately trying to get a hold of her. Opening her messages, her mouth ran dry at the words. Ambush. Lost three men and half the shipment compromised. Boss, we need orders. Police will be calling with cops any minute now. We need orders. Fabrizio's last message had come in a few minutes prior. Taking over her business, the business her father's enemies had seized opportunity after opportunity to attempt to wipe them out, each one failing. They were becoming bolder with their efforts, a fact that pissed Shay off more than anything. They thought she was weak. They thought she couldn't handle the pressure. They thought the new leader of the West Ninth Gang was a pushover. They couldn't be more wrong. Without a moment's hesitation, she gave the only order she could. Kill them all. Make them suffer for daring to cross me. Leave one alive and bring him to me.
Ooh. You can't stop there. I was just getting into it.
That's the idea, right?
True. That's very true. Yeah.
Just a little glimpse there. So the premise of the book is she's basically leading a double life. Nobody knows that she's taken over her father's business, and she's trying to make ends meet as just, you know, working as this barista during the pandemic time. So it's just a little bit of a twisty story there.
I definitely like dark romance. I do. You know, when I think my first dark romance, well, you know, everybody I think started with the 50 Shades of Grey. That's kind of like opened up the, you know, this whole, you know, kind of darkish thing going on, I guess. But, you know, after that, I remember I was browsing, I think it was browsing Amazon, and I came across like a C.J. Roberts and Pepper Winters, and I was blown away with it, you know, how for me that it was like crazy dark, you know, back then. And
yeah.
I love it though. I'm just, you know, is it like every woman's fantasy is to be, you know, kidnapped by like a really hot billionaire? I mean, is that just me?
I think there's a certain thrill. Like with a darker book, there's like that kind of like I don't know, like a deliciousness, I guess, you know, like it's hard to explain, but,
yeah.
You know, it's not something that happens in everyday life, obviously, but there's just some sort of like underlying like adrenaline when you read a story like that. Like, I don't know. I don't read too many of them anymore because I write in that genre and I want to make sure my content stays my own imagination and I don't have anybody else's words in my head when I'm writing. But before when I did read, like I loved Pepper Winters,
yeah,
Alethea Romegg, like all those ladies, you know, some very, very good dark books. But yeah, for sure.
Definitely. They're, yeah, all of them. And I've been in the process of getting some of our old shows up on the platform. And, man, I came across, I think it was like episode 10 or 11, which, oh my God, I can't believe how long ago that was. But we had, I had Alessandra Torre on, and I just remember the first time I read The Girl in 6E and how much I loved that book. And there's like two other ones. I didn't even know that there were two other, you know, part two, part three, or whatever. I didn't even know they existed. So now I definitely have to go back and find those and read them because that was so good. That was such a good book. Yeah. Anyway, what do you, Cassie, when you're when you are reading, what do you like to read?
I typically now stick more towards rom-coms or something with a little bit of suspense. Just so I keep like still my enjoyment of reading, but not, as I said, falling into, like, if I read like Amo Jones or somebody like that who I absolutely adore, or even Anne Malcolm has a new book out that I really, really, really want to read, but I have that fear. I don't want anybody else's
you
words to get in my head.
So
I know I'm on the cover. I know. and I do, I probably will break my own rule and read that one because Tammy Hart, she's one of my good friends and she reads a lot of my books. She told me it was absolutely fantastic. So I do want to read it, but I typically stick to suspense or just like a rom-com, something like that, when I'm reading for enjoyment.
Right. Yeah, I don't know what it is about. Like I said, I don't normally read the rom-coms, but they're just refreshing. They really are. And I love something with comedy, especially, you know, I think it just... I don't know. I have to have some comedy in it now, or I just don't want to read it. I don't want to read anything too serious.
Yeah, for sure. Especially nowadays, right?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Yeah, I could go off on so many different tangents with what's going on in the world right now. You know, I have a kid who's in school, and well, school age, and you know, they're doing the virtual thing right now. They're not going in person, and it's like when it first started, they said, well, you know, we're just gonna have 1 week, and then we're gonna go back normal, and then you know that happens, and then it gets pushed back again, and I'm just like, are we ever going to go back? And I'm thinking, he got a job, you know, 2 weeks ago. So he can go to work, but he can't go to school. I don't get it. Like, to me, that doesn't make any sense at all. So don't get me started.
Yeah, I know. Some of the rules don't make sense, but,
they
you know, it
really
is what it
don't.
Is, I guess.
They really don't. Yeah. I do worry, you know, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, are we just all of us, you know, all masked? And, you know, I have these horrible visions of this new, you know, this new world where we don't have any physical contact with people. It's just, it's scary. It is, it's scary. So, yeah. On that note, do we have one more excerpt? I don't know if we had one more excerpt or not.
Jerry.
Yeah. So I have, my story is Just One Night, and I don't even know what it is. It's it's like erotic romance, I guess. I don't know.
I like that.
Like, I typically write bikers, you know, bad guys. Bad asses, I guess.
Odd guys.
And yeah, so that's what this is kind of based around, but it's not a biker. My essential worker was not even an essential worker in the public's eyes. It was a mom, a stay-at-home mom. Through this whole thing, she's been stuck at home with her kids.
Definitely an essential worker, Jerry.
Yeah.
But not in the eyes of the government, right? So that's kind of essential worker, and she's been stuck at home through this whole thing with her husband and her three kids, and has been homeschooling, doing all that stuff, and when all the restrictions finally lift, she goes out by herself to a biker bar.
Nice.
And that is kind of the premise of my story. It's not a super long one. Sometimes it's fun for me to just write short and sweet. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Short to the point. Short, sexy, and sweet. So, anyways, this is the excerpt. So she's in the bar. She's just walked in. She's nervous. She's in a biker bar. She is not someone who goes to a biker bar. The bartender says, "You have an admirer." Looking back over my shoulder, I take in the gorgeous man standing so close, his unnatural blue eyes pinned on me. Smirking, he tilts his head towards the man at the end of the bar, who now sits watching us with a frown on his face. "Just one of many," I reply, trying to appear coy and praying my nerves aren't showing in my expression. He reaches out and pulls the glass from my hand. I'm going to stop here, too. It was not the bartender. It was another dude at the bar. Not the bartender that said that. So she's talking to another man at the bar. He reaches out and pulls the glass from my hand, his fingers skimming across mine and sending a shiver through my body. "Let me buy you a new one." He doesn't wait for a reply as he turns to the bartender, holding up two fingers. I take advantage of his momentary distraction and take him in. He's tall, at least a foot taller than my 5'3". His dark hair is unruly in the most delicious, I want to run my fingers through it kind of way. The stubble on his chiseled jaw surrounds his full lips, telling me he hasn't shaved for several days. His dark gray Henley is taut across large biceps and a wide chest, but that's as far as I get in my perusal before his attention is back on me. "What's your name, gorgeous?" Laughter bubbles up past my lips before I can stop it. I know it's a come on, but tonight I just don't care. I want to be his gorgeous. I want him to hit on me. He's not going to have to work too hard. He stares back at me expectantly, waiting on an answer. Shit, my name. Chrissy, I stutter, giving him the first name that comes to mind. I don't give him my actual name. I'm not me tonight. He arches a brow, his steel blue eyes assessing me as he takes the fresh drinks off the bar. "Well, Chrissy," he drawls, his tone telling me he knows damn well I didn't give him my real name. "You could call me Jake." And that's my excerpt.
You guys all, they're just way too short. I want more. Especially you said it was erotic, and I'm waiting for, like, the juicy bits here, you know? We definitely like the juicy bits. Fine. I like that, though. I do. Yeah. I'm sure you guys had a lot of fun working on this anthology. Is there going to be like another one? Do we think?
Maybe someday down the road. We had a really hard time even finding Canadian authors. Like, all of us had to dig pretty deep to find people. So
really,
I don't know. Yeah,
Not sure about that.
Pretty
one.
Amazing though. We ended up with what, 29 authors altogether.
That, wow,
that's all together, and two brand new ones.
Wow, I think that's a lot. I do. Wow, yeah.
We have a great group of authors, too.
I could definitely
see
this is
a really excellent group of people for sure. It's like tricky because it's more like there's not a lot of Canadian authors to begin with, and then. It's hard to market in Canada, right? Like we mostly, our readership is in the U.S. or over in Europe, you know, so it's a little bit harder for marketing and things like that. But Julie's right there. We have an excellent group. So it was really fun.
Yeah. Awesome. I do think, I can definitely see a volume 2 on the horizon there. I'm going to put in my vote and then we can, you know, get some people together and you can come back on and read the dirty bits. I want a whole show of just dirty bits, okay? That sounds like fun to me. I mean, I have my hand up. Nobody can see it, but my hand is up right now. So now, since this book is all about the, we like to call it the aftertimes here on the show, with the virus and everything, I mean, how many of you guys are actually essential workers and who had to work the entire time?
Being a mom, that's it. No, I had my kids home.
That's an essential worker. Yeah, definitely.
I did in the beginning. This is Jerry. I did in the beginning. I worked at a group home with disabled adults. Mm-hmm. But once we got kind of a little farther into the lockdown and stuff, I ended up having to not work because I couldn't leave my girls home by themselves. So I've just been writing ever since.
I did think it was interesting where, you know, so many people had been complaining about, you know, not having anything to do because of the, you know, the virus and they're stuck at home and stuff. And for, you know, for people, for the writers and for, you know, like me and James and, you know, we didn't get any time off. As a matter of fact, I think we were even busier than normal. And so, you know, everybody complained about they have nothing to do but lay on the couch and read a book. I'm like, man, I would give anything to do that right now. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess I'm essential. Yeah. But I think we have to take a short break, and I think we have to say goodbye to Cassia. I think she's going to leave us,
which is very sad. I'm going to beg off as well.
I am, yes. I'm sorry, guys. I have an early morning. But this has been so much fun. Xena, I totally appreciate you having me back on again. We will have to do this again for sure.
Definitely.
When I've got more time to stay on a little longer and chat with you guys. But thank you so much.
Yeah, I'll definitely get in touch with you. Yeah. So, say goodbye to who's leaving, and then whoever is back, stays, will be back after these messages. Yay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Panic Room Radio Show is sponsored by Hellbound Books, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction, You can find the publisher along with links to all their available works across platforms at hellboundbookspublishing.com. Hellbound Books is proud to be the first in the indie publishing business with their very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com, and Xtina has an author page found on the Hellbound website. Don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website at www.panicroomradio.com.
Such a whore, so self-aware, so full of shit, so indecisive, so adamant. I'll contemplate and thinking about thinking. It's overrated, just get another drink and watch me come undone.
Hello?
Anybody? Hi, there? There you are. What happened?
We're having all sorts of technical... I don't know. We're having all sorts of technical issues this evening. And I'm calling on my phone, so I'm going to be having... I'm going to write a very stiff email to the Blog Talk people. I think the sooner we find a different carrier, the better.
You know, the
I tell you something,
bad
you,
thing is this.
You,
yeah, we say this
go,
all the time that we're gonna do something different, and then they're good for a couple of weeks, and then I don't know what happens. So
I think I'm not one for conspiracies, but. I think we know whose fault all this is, you know.
Nobody does it better.
I really believe I'd run into it even if I didn't have a weapon.
Nobody knows the system better than me.
Nobody knows politicians better than I do.
Nobody knows. Nobody's better.
Nobody's stronger. There's nobody bigger or better at the military than I am.
I love the First Amendment. Nobody loves it better than me.
Nobody loves the Bible more than I do.
There is nobody that respects women more than I do.
Nobody builds walls better than me.
Nobody's in the history of this country has ever known so much about infrastructure as Donald Trump. Nobody knows that better than me.
Nobody even understands it but me.
Nobody can do it like me.
Which is why I alone can fix it. I have Ivy League education, smart guy.
I know words. I have the best words. I mean, like, I'm a smart person. It's this. It's not my salesmanship. It's what? This. You know what that is? It's the brain power.
I'm getting thousands of letters and tweets that I was right about the whole situation. I mean, I've been right about a lot of things, frankly. I should be a newscaster because I called it before the news.
I watch this stuff. You know, I'm like a guy with vision.
I have an instinct for this kind of thing.
I'm good at war. I've had a lot of wars of my own. I'm really good at war.
In my book, I predicted terrorism.
It's a rigged system. I think I've done a great service by pointing this out. I was the one that really broke the glass ceiling on behalf of women.
I think I'm doing the military a great favor.
Did a great job in Texas, a great job in Florida.
I truly believe that the first 100 days of my administration has been just about the most successful in our country's history.
It looked like a million and a half people.
Thank you, everybody. What a crowd. What a turnout.
I understand steaks. It's my favorite food, and these are the best.
That keeps me from running.
Can you believe it?
Well, we're back. I hope you've still got Leah. Are you still there, Leah?
Yeah, I'm still here. I think everybody else
bugged
out on us. We're
having all sorts of... the whole software thing throws a wobbly, but totally not our fault. But it's been a long time, Leah. What have you been up to since we last spoke?
Writing like crazy. I've got a lot of books out. I'm in a lot of anthologies. Started publishing myself.
Thanks.
Wow.
After
a couple mishaps.
Oh. Yeah, I think we've all been through those.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what are you working on at the moment?
Working on a story for, I don't know if you've seen on Facebook, there was the candy shop series, the ice cream series. Well, the one that's coming out for next month is the sex shop series. And each of us picked a different theme for our stories. Blinded by Lust. She's got a blindfold on and the Shibari wrote knots.
Yeah.
That's
I like
cover.
That.
Yeah. Julie's in it. Her and Michael Mann wrote one together. Theirs is on Wax Play, as far as melting candles and stuff, yeah. Elias Raven's writing in it. His leather shop. A whole bunch of us are in them. So I've been
doing
those.
That would be a fun show. We should put that together. That'd be a fun show. Although I will make it a thing where if you read an excerpt, it has to be a dirty part. We want the dirty parts. Dirty parts.
Exactly.
I know.
It's funny because you brought up the horror, and you know, a lot of my first books were mixed, so many mixed genres. But you know, there was horror in some of it. I've been doing some like romantic thriller, suspense type stuff, and a lot of erotic writing lately.
Nice. I bet you that keeps you busy.
lots of research.
Yeah. Now, do you still have time to read as much? And if so, what are you reading?
I just finished reading C. Griffin's book. I gotta find it real quick. It's a new one she just released. It's Theophan writing. Let's see, there it is. Silma's Other Side. It's like an otherworldly type book.
Mm-hmm.
She's visited by a ghost who explains her story to her for her to write for future generations. But it's totally different than anything she normally writes.
Mm-hmm.
She did a super good job on it. Very, very good job.
You know, I've been watching a lot of those ghost shows. You know, you have Ghost Adventures and Ghost Hunters and stuff. And I watch and I'm very fascinated, but I'm just a big scaredy cat. Like, I really am. If I ever had any experience like these people experienced, we'd have to sell the house and move far, far away. maybe live in a church. I don't even know, you know, but definitely I'm like, I don't understand how they can still stay there. And I mean, the one wrong thing happens, I'm out. I am out. I really am.
Yeah.
I'm just, I can't even watch a scary movie and torment myself for like a week. You know, I'll get up in the middle of the night to go pee or something, and I can't even close the door because I'm, you know, scared, you know, just scared myself. And it, yeah. So if anything actually really happened, I couldn't handle it. I'm a big wuss.
I've actually lived a couple of places that had experiences, so I don't know anything about it anymore.
Yeesh. No, I'm a big wuss. You know, James has joked around about, you know, he would love to meet up with a ghost or, you know, no, not me. I'm just terrified.
You know,
but I do love
lights.
To read about it, though. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the old lights that you used to put, like, beside the recliner, they were the floor stand ones that had, like, the little round table wooden part around the center of it. They'd
mm-hmm.
be, like,
mm-hmm.
5-6 feet tall. We had one of those when I lived in North Carolina, and it worked fine in every house we lived in. Before this one house and every house after that one. But the one house we moved into, and we didn't know until after we were there that the gentleman that had lived there before us had passed away in the house.
Yeesh.
The one outlet in the living room, anytime we plugged it in there, a certain time of the day, the light would go on, and a little while later it would go back off. You plug it anywhere else in the house, it didn't do it. Just that one spot.
You know,
turns out that was the guy's, where the guy had his recliner and his light, similar to that, where he would come home from work and read the paper.
Nice. Yeah. No, I'm moving.
So, But I mean, we found all this out afterwards, so it was kind of like, okay,
yeah.
You know, he didn't bother anybody, just turn the light on and off.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Christmas of, I don't think it was last year, it was the year before, we had the Christmas tree hooked up to the Google thing, so you know, you could turn off the tree by saying, okay, Google, yeah, it's gonna turn off the Christmas tree. So, but we would, my son was downstairs and he was watching TV or playing a game or something. And we were making the tree go on and off, and he, you know, from the other room, and we could watch him on the camera. And so the tree goes on, and my son like looks over at it. You know, he's like studying, and he just looks back and he continues to do what he's doing. And then we turned it off, and we did this a few times. Nothing, no reaction. I mean, he just looked at it. Me, I would have been out. I'm gone. I'm just gone. But nothing. He was just watching. So I don't know. He's braver than I am, I will say. Because, I would have been like, baby, we have to move. So. This is something that we have not done in a really long time, but are you up for 11 questions?
Sure, why not?
Yay! Awesome. I pulled out one of the older ones, too. I don't think we've done these ones in quite some time, but the first one. Yeah, number one, what's your best or... What?
We haven't done the jingle. It's been that long. She forgot. Right, let's do things. But, you know, I give you a little bit of free rein, and this is what, you can't get the stuff. You cannot get the stuff. Right, here we go. Let's do it properly, shall we?
And now, 11 questions.
Okay, number one, what is your best or worst movie that you ever saw? Either one, best or worst.
Oh, God, there's so many bad ones out anymore.
yeah, there are.
Geez, and I'm drawing a blank. I just went totally stupid and we saw one the other day on TV that I was like, I think one of the dumbest ones I've seen is Joe Dirt.
Oh.
That one I know is stupid. Things like that
I like funny movies. I love comedies, but I'm not really big on like spoof movies, you know. I don't like the stupid funny.
You couldn't pay me to watch the scary movies. I hate those.
Really? Okay, yeah. Let's see, what was the first grown-up horror novel that you read?
Grown up as in just any?
Adult, yeah.
Oh, God. And that was, I was probably 10, 11 years old. I was reading my mom's V.C. Andrews novels, The Flowers in the Attic, Petals in the Wind, If There Be Thorns.
Now, those, I love, yeah, I think I was in like 6th or 7th grade when I stumbled across the Flowers in the Attic, and you know, it's weird because it's not horror like in the normal sense of horror, but man, some of the stuff that happens, yeah, those were good books. Yeah, really good books.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Oh, what is your favorite cuss word?
I can say it, right?
Yeah,
because I say it a lot.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
It covers so many things.
It's true. It does. You know, it's funny. We had one of my favorite writers who is on the show all the time. When I asked him that question, I think he said fudge. His favorite cuss word was fudge. I know.
Not fudge.
Yeah, I thought that was
cute. I'm going to do it the right way.
Right. Okay, what's the worst way you can imagine yourself dying?
Fire.
That's a good answer. Yeah, I'm terrified of fire. I am.
I'd rather drown than burn.
Oh, God, Yeah, I don't want to do any of those things. But fire does scare me quite a lot. So, yeah, that's a good one. Let's see. Oh, what was your very first pet?
That was mine or family type?
Yeah.
Mine was
yours.
Black snake.
Nice. Yes, speaking of snakes, I think you just told me that the other day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. What was your snake's name?
Ace. There's, you know, just something stupid. I was a kid.
Yeah. I like it.
Started out as my sister's, the high school she was in was the Susquehannock Warriors, and she was, her and one of the guys were the school mascots, and they wore Indian costumes, and she had to carry the snake with her around the football games and stuff. Once the season
nice.
Was over, I ended up with the snake. She didn't want it. So,
aww.
But yeah, I graduated from there to red-tailed boas and ball pythons and Burmese pythons and albino berms.
Yep.
And your favorite, I had a pet tarantula that I know you
oh,
like
God.
Spiders. I've had lizards. I've had it all.
Now, people who have spiders for pets, do you still get them out and, like, you know, hold
yeah.
them and stuff? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Floyd,
yeah.
Floyd, my tarantula, you could sit him on your shoulder and walk around all day and he'd stay put.
Oh, you know, we were at the pet store, I think, when my daughter got her snake, and right behind, or, you know, if you stand there at snakes, right behind you are spiders. And
yeah.
I was like, why would you want to buy one of those that would make you want to hit it with a shoe every time it moved? You know what I mean? Because that's what I would want to do. Yeah. Oh, gosh. They're so creepy. They really are. Yeah. Anyway, let's see. Next question. Who is your biggest influence in writing?
The one who pushed me the hardest when I first started with poetry was Elias Raven.
Awesome. Do you still write poetry a lot? Are you still writing poetry?
Not. The poetry muse has gone quiet somewhat. I mean, every once in a while it'll hit, but it's like I've got four or five other muses that are constantly talking with different stories in my head, and they don't ever shut up. So sometimes it's hard. Because I end up writing, I'm working on three books right now, and it's because sometimes one will overpower the other, and I have to bounce from one story to the other one and then back.
Gotcha.
Even doing co-writes. Julie and I did a co-write together. That was my first co-authored book. We released it for the Candy Shop series. But I was writing two other books while I was doing that one, too.
I just love this question here. If you were God for a day, what would you do?
Whoa, that's a loaded question because there's so many things I can think of. Yeah, do I want to be a good God or a bad one? And even that could be taken different ways. I'd probably try to end this pandemic. I mean, it's insane. You know, I'm in New Jersey, so you know I'm literally, the Hudson River is the only thing that separates where I live from New York. So we've had, you know, up until recently with other areas of the country, their numbers going up. At first, we were the highest and hardest hit. So.
Yeah. It is pretty bad out there. It is. Let's see. Oh, here is a good one. Who or what, in your opinion, is the crappiest horror or supernatural being?
Oh, God. Trying to think of the name of the movie, and they're stupid movies too, but it's, I can't think of what the character in the movie's called. It's in the swamps where this father hid his kid in the cabin and because he was deformed and stuff, but other kids found out about it, and just to scare him, they were like throwing firecrackers at the shack, and it caught on fire, and he supposedly died. But every year, around a certain time, or every so often, he comes back and is killing people off. It was dumb.
I don't know. That sounds kind of scary, though. I don't know if I want to. Yeah, he sounds kind of crappy, kind of scary, though.
Yeah, it's a crappy, scary movie, but it's. I love horror. I mean, I'd rather read a horror book than watch a movie, because most horror movies are either stupid or predictable.
These days, they really are. I can't remember the last scary movie that I watched that actually scared me.
I've been jump scares. Yeah,
you know,
I've been a Stephen King fan my whole life. I love his books, but I hate the movies. The movies suck compared to the books. Because there's just so much left out.
Yeah, you know, when they did Gerald's Game, that was I loved that book so much. And when I heard it was going to be a movie, I was like, how in the world are they going to do that? Because so much of the book takes place in her head, you know.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I think they did a really good job with it. I was impressed. I've actually seen it more than once, and I thought it was great. I think they did a really good job with that. You know, there is that. But have you read anything recent of Stephen King's? I haven't read him in I think the last book I picked up of his was the Under the Dome. That was like a long time ago, so I haven't read anything recent.
It's been a while. I mean, what little bit of time I do get to read, I'm proofreading for friends or helping with editing, or, you know, I need a cover. You want to read the book so you can get an idea of what I need? I've been doing a lot of graphic designing, making book covers and teasers and things like that for people.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's
been a long time.
I just love this question here. If it were legal to do so, would you eat human flesh?
No.
Thank you.
That I have no desire to try.
Yeah, you know, I am not a huge meat eater to begin with. You know, I'm really not. So that's just, you know, James is like, you know, throw a little barbecue sauce on it and I'm good. And no, I can't see where I would ever go. Yeah, that's it doesn't sound good to me at all.
I mean, you see all the movies with cannibals, how messed up they turn out to be from eating human flesh.
I know, right?
Nah, that's okay. Yes.
Which franchise is your favorite? Halloween, Friday the 13th, Elm Street, Hellraiser, or Saw?
Oh, damn. Oh, God, I like all of them.
Yeah, I do.
I
think...
I'd have probably picked Pinhead when I was younger, but I don't know. I really I love Hellraiser.
Good choice.
Pinhead's my buddy.
Good choice.
But
I've actually seen all of them. And I actually met the guy who played Pinhead in the last movie. You know, the guy who replaced Doug Bradley. Ain't really nice bloke, actually. He actually got to meet Clive Barker. But yeah, really good bloke. But I thought he picked it up well. I thought that the last one was better than a lot of the more recent ones. You know, the story was sort of a nice hark back to you know, the original two or three, but lost its way over the years. But I'll always be a Pinhead fan. Always.
Yeah, same here. The Saw ones I like too, because they're mental, not just physical. They really make you go into your head to try and figure out what's going on and how to escape. And they're a mental horror, if that makes sense.
Yeah, they did with Freddy Krueger. I mean, to be fair, with Halloween and Friday the 13th as well. They sort of made them almost like jokey characters. Certainly like Freddy Krueger. You know,
yeah.
And it's like, no. But they never did that with Pinhead. You know, he was always, yeah,
exactly.
Serious, sinister character, even when, you know, with the backstory and whatnot. But always be a fun. There's talk of them rebooting the original, which, I don't know. I mean, how do you feel about that, Liam? I'm sort of mixed emotions.
I'm not happy about that.
Something like, if it's like any of the other reboots, the horror reboots over the past, you know, God knows how many years, it'll be awful.
I like the first couple of Freddy Krueger movies.
Yeah,
I liked the first couple of Freddy Krueger movies, but once they got towards the end of them, they were ridiculous. And then when they remade it, I was like, oh, no. Yeah.
Do you know, the remake wasn't bad. Out of all the remakes recently, it wasn't that bad. But then again, you know, it's a low bar when you look at like, the Poltergeist remake and the Cemetery remake and some of the god-awful crap they've just churned out because it's cheap, you know, so...
Nobody has an original idea anymore. Even things that were just made 10, 15 years ago, they're remaking them already. It's
well,
like,
they remade my brain's gone. He made Cabin in the Woods, Cabin Fever, and then remade it, I think only about 3 or 4 years afterwards. What? Why? Almost remade it. What was the bloody point of that?
Mm.
You know,
there are good original ideas out there, but
all you have to do, look at the indie horror community. There's some phenomenal books out there. The reason they do the remakes is because it's cheap. First of all, they don't have to pay for the rights because the studio owns them, and B, a lot of the scripts there, they just throw it at some intern to rewrite it. It's cheap.
Mm.
You know, it's cheap and easy to do. And they ride on the nostalgia circuit. You know, all the people loved, Nightmare on Elm Street back in the 80s. Oh, they're going to watch the remake. And you've almost got like a guaranteed audience. It's lazy. It's the studios being lazy. It's the same thinking that gives us the, all these DC and Marvel movies and 10 Transformer movie, and for goodness sake, you know, it's just... that's what aggravates me. You know, as we say, Liam, I mean, there's so many really good ideas out there, and they just ignore them.
Yeah, they just want to keep recycling the same old thing.
Yeah, this is terrible.
Yeah. I was going to say, out of the franchises there, Halloween, I will always be a huge Halloween fan. And I don't know, for me, it's just the whole, you know, even the month of October. You hit October, and then from October, November, December, that is my favorite time of the year, and I get so, like, I'm so excited. And, I just love Halloween time, and Michael Myers
Jason
is great.
And Michael Myers were great when they first started out, but, I mean,
how
many movies have they made of each one?
Okay.
And they get to the point, it's like... Another one?
I do have to say I loved the remakes, the Halloween remakes with the Rob Zombie, you know, take on them. I thought they were great. And I'm not a huge Rob Zombie fan as far as the movies go. But I did really like his Halloween 1 and 2. They were just and gruesome. There were some gruesome parts. And I think for me, it might have been the most gruesome I had seen. And watching the movies, I remember just thinking how demented I was going to be for the rest of my life because of, you know, watching these movies. And I don't know, they had an effect on me. They did. But I really enjoyed them. I did. So I would watch more like that, I think. But I think it was the whole idea of the Michael Myers and the, you know, Halloween and that I really liked. So, but yeah, you're right. When they do start getting weird, you know, the Friday the 13th, when they're 7, 8, 9, I don't even know. I think they're up to like 13 or something. That's just crazy.
At least.
Yeah.
And then they have to go Freddy versus Jason.
Oh God. Yeah. I couldn't even bring myself to watch that.
Me either.
I really couldn't.
Cause I'm like, you know, no, you're mixing what shouldn't be mixed.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you know, speaking of that, you know, these were movies out in like the 80s, I think, for the most part, with like Halloween, Friday 13th, Elm Street. There was one that I just loved so much. It was a I don't know if you'd call it a slasher film flick back then, but April Fool's Day. Does anybody remember that movie? I just loved that movie. It was really good. Anybody?
I'm trying to remember.
I think you've just made it
was
that
good.
Up, to be
I'm not. You need to look it up. It was really good. I loved it. I really did. It was good. So, well, anyway, I think we are just about out of time for our show, Leah, and I'm so glad that you stopped in. And
me too. It's been a long time since I got to talk to both of you.
Yeah, give us a plug real quick for the book. Tell us where we can find it and the name of it and all that good stuff.
Okay. For the one we called in tonight, Together We Stand, right now it's on Amazon. It just moved into Kindle Unlimited. We had it on all platforms, so now it's just strictly Amazon and Kindle Unlimited.
Awesome. So if anybody's listening, go out there and buy Together We Stand. And, again, thank you so much for coming on the show, and we definitely have to do it again sometime.
Definitely. Thank you for having us.
Thank
you. I hate that everybody jumped off.
Don't leave so long.
Hopefully not. It's good to talk to you again.
Even though, you know, the Canadians, thank you for all calling from foreign
Let's go, Blue Jay!
I'm one of the non-Canadian authors that was in it, so one of the two.
There you go. You're all right. Again, thanks to everybody. But thank you, Liam. We'll speak to you again very soon. All the best.
Hopefully. Thanks a lot.
Night.
Have a good
Thanks,
evening. Ed. Okay, bye-bye.
Have a good night. Bye.
And it is that time, actually. Now, time has whizzed by, thanks to technical difficulties, a bit quicker, I think, than usual. And it is time to say goodnight, Xtina.
Good night, Xtina.
Good night.